May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 1098. 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove. Break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. Hymn 1098.
Let's read together this evening from the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians and the sixth chapter. First epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians and chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong, and ye defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What know ye not? That he which is joined to an harlot is one body. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we'll leave the reading of the Holy Word of God there. And may the Holy Spirit be pleased to bless that portion of his word that we've read together to each of our souls. And may he bestow upon us that true spirit of prayer. Great and almighty, O Lord God, do Lord teach us how to pray. What we should pray for, Lord, we know not what to pray for as we ought. What a mercy, Lord, that there is that spirit that make that intercession for us, those groanings that cannot be uttered. O Lord, thou knowest as we come to the evening time of thy day, the day is fast spent. We think of those two on the Emmaus road, Lord, and Lord, thou did draw nigh, that thou did commune with them, that a heart burned within them. And their desire, Lord, as thou knowest, was that thou would abide with them. May that be our desire. And may it be a desire that's given by thee, that, Lord, that thou would abide with us, that we might feel and know as we assemble in this place, in the evening of thy day, thy gracious presence. Let none be satisfied with a mere form of religion, but destitute of the power. Let none just be content with just coming and going to thy cause of truth, thy house of mercy. Although, of course, we would recognise, Lord, it's a great mercy to be found in thy house, in thy day. But let us not be left, Lord, to a religion of formality, custom or tradition. It may not be left to a religion that's just, oh, it's the Lord's day, we attend to the Lord's house. No. If any but are in that prayerless, any in that careless condition, awake them up, Lord. And grant, Lord, that as the friends gather here, those that might be listening remotely in their own homes or elsewhere, they might have the desire as the Greeks of old. Sir, we would see Jesus. Any of them have come up to thy house prayerless or careless. O Lord, make them prayerful. Make them careful. And may, Lord, there be some. May, Lord, it be a mercy if we're able to say the majority or even all. Thou knowest, Lord. Any, Lord, that have come to thy house with a particular desire, a particular burden, a particular need, a particular care. Any, look, come, Lord, with that spirit of that one in thy... Is there a word from the Lord? Any, Lord, that have come seeking a word. We pray, Lord, that thou would grant them a word in season. A word to the weary. A word, Lord, that might prove to be of thee. A word, Lord, that's endued with that power from on high. And as our friend Mr. Buss often says, that there might be much prayer in the pew, that there might be that power in the pulpit. We've got a poor man in the pulpit this night, Lord, one that's completely dependent upon thee. No strength in self, no wisdom in self, and nothing, Lord, nothing. Come empty. And may, Lord, each in the pew come empty. Any, Lord, that are coming thinking anything of themselves. Any coming thinking they're worthy of anything. Oh, Lord, empty them of self. And then fill us with thy spirit, Lord. As those ditches were in thy word, how they were dug deep and how they were emptied. And thou didst fill them to overflowing, Lord. Oh, may we be filled with thee. And may, Lord, may thou be our all and in all. Any that have gained in weakness, whether it be bodily weakness, mental affliction, or whatever it be, Lord. How we feel to be weak at times. How we feel to be nothing. And what a mercy, Lord, if the friends here have felt to be nothing. As Paul said, I be nothing. And Lord, we feel to be able to do nothing. Feel to be able to do nothing aright. Lord, no. Feel to be nothing before thee. And yet, Lord, how Paul was enabled to say, as thou did enable him to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. O Lord, strengthen those here, Lord. Any, Lord, that have got a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan to buffet them. And how, Lord, we should all have that thorn in the flesh, our sin. And yet, Lord, thou did, and how, Lord, thy servant besought thee that thou would remove it thrice. And yet, Lord, thou granted him something so much greater than the removal of the thorn. Thou granted him thy grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And may any, Lord, here in weakness, in that felt weakness, may they prove, Lord, the sufficiency, the abundant sufficiency of thy strength. Those, Lord, that might have bodily weakness, may they, Lord, may that word be a comfort in thy word. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. O Lord, grant that strength unto each. Uphold each. Strengthen and support each in life's pathway. O Lord, any here that are in affliction's path, we pray, Lord, that thou would grant healing mercies. That thou bless the means used upon them. We don't look to the means, Lord. We look to thee to bless the means. We pray, Lord, that thou would do so. We thank thee, Lord, for that one raised up who's now at the desk, Lord, who we gather was enabled to do a reading service this morning. And thou knowest the last time he wasn't here, Lord. We thank thee for that. And, Lord, we think of thy dear servant who is engaged to be here this day, laid aside through that affliction that thou hast brought upon him. We pray, Lord, that would be very gracious unto him. That, Lord, thou would draw nigh unto him while he's laid aside from his labours. May, Lord, there be good come out of these things. Thy word declares, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. even, Lord, in that time of affliction, that time of being laid aside. And may he be enabled to say, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. That, Lord, this time he's laid aside might be a time of refreshing in his soul, a time of presence, a time of thy presence unto him. And, Lord, restore him to his labours, if it's thy will. And, Lord, be with this church and congregation at Lamberhurst. And the friends here, Lord, doubtless disappointed that he's not able to come here this day. And I imagine many are disappointed that he's not in the pulpit, but they've got this poor man instead. But may we prove, Lord, that these appointments are of thee. When we make engagements, thou knowest, Lord, we often write it in letters. The will of the Lord be done, if the Lord will. And yet, Lord, it is thy will that thy servant who should be laid aside. It's thy will that thy servant should not be here this night. And may, Lord, there be a purpose even in these things, that it might redound to thy praise, to thine honour, and to thy glory. But do, Lord, be with each in affliction's path. And may each, Lord, that are in deep afflictions, keep in view, Lord, the inheritance for the saints, and be able to say, as thou dost enable them to say, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. O Lord, use these afflictions, trials, difficulties and losses to our teaching, that they might be sanctified by thee, that they might be teaching in all these things, Lord, that the bonds of this life might be loosened, and that, Lord, there might be that desire wrought in our hearts, in each of our hearts, to leave this world. This lure that lieth in wickedness, and that desire even that Paul had, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh Lord, and we think, Lord, of heaven and the God of heaven and a precious Christ in heaven, and how God shall wipe away all tears. Yes, many tears here below, many tears and much distress, much affliction, much trouble. And yet, Lord, what a mercy, Lord, that thou hast done all things for thy people, and thou wilt receive thy people in them to be with thee, to look upon thee forever. What an inheritance, Lord. And may we each, Lord, have that desire to be with thee. Prepare each of us for eternity. Prepare each of us for that prepared place. Thou hast gone before thy people to prepare those mansions in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it not so, I would have told thee. And if I have told thee, I will come again and receive thee unto myself. Those mansions, we don't deserve a mansion, Lord. And yet, there is that abode for each of thy people. Lord, may we each be brought to know that this is not our home. Our home is in heaven. We have no continuing city here, but seek one to come. That haven, that desired haven, oh Lord, and prepare each of us for that time, a prepared people for a prepared place. And how one has said that hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. But may we amongst those, Lord, are wrought upon by thee. Do, Lord, be with those, Lord, that have lost loved ones. Uphold them, strengthen them, support them, to be very gracious unto them. Do, Lord, draw nigh in their lonely time, and be with those, Lord, that are elderly, that feel the infirmities of old age and the afflictions that come on them, the mud-walled cottage shakes, to be very gracious unto them. Make their latter end better than their beginning. And do, Lord, grant that upholding and that strengthening by thee. We thank thee, Lord, for our homes, the Bethesda homes. And thankful, Lord, we are to see the building opposite, Lord, being erected. We thank thee for that, Lord. And we thank thee for one, Lord, that's been constrained here to help, Lord, to oversee that construction. We thank thee for that, Lord. Lord, go before us in these things. We beseech of thee, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for those that work in our Bethesda homes, our care homes. And we thank thee, Lord, for the residents that are in there. Those, Lord, who can speak of the things that thou hast done for their souls. And may, Lord, they shine as beacons in a very dark land. Could use Bethesda, Lord,
And those that go into Bethesda, who fear thee not, Lord, may they have that desire of that one in thy word. Thy people should be my people, and thy God, my God. Do, Lord, hear us, we beseech, of thee be with the children. We thank thee, Lord, that the children that are found here, that, and may they prove to be the generation that follow on. Do, Lord, keep them while young in years, keep them from the world, the spirit of the world. Be with those, Lord, that have gone back to their schools. And we would remember those, Lord, that are homeschooled. But remember those, Lord, who go into the world and keep them from the things that they're taught in schools. Those many things, Lord, that are contrary to thy word. Grant them wisdom. Grant them discernment. Grant they might form right and proper friendships. And do, Lord, be with them. Uphold them. Strengthen them. And support them, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou would grant unto them the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. That, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they might be granted that long life and that prosperity in this world, but we pray for much greater things than that. We pray, Lord, that they might know thy grace, that they might know thee, that they might be made vessels of mercy. O Lord, work in the young and rising generation. O Lord, we pray, Lord, that thou would grant wisdom to parents to train up the children the way that they should go, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, we pray for those that have, in previous years that have been brought up under the sound of the truth, that were brought up here perhaps, in each of the courses, those, Lord, the praying parents, praying grandparents, and what prayers have been offered up for them. We pray, Lord, for those that have left, the prodigals, that thou grant that they might remember their father's house, the house of their fathers, and they might be made willing in the day of thy power to return. O Lord, constrain others to come in here. Those, Lord, that pass by. Those that are apart, Lord, those that pass by, those that live around here. We thank thee, Lord, for the goodly number that gather here. Lord, may there be that building up. Lord, we think of each of the small causes of truth, those little hills of Zion. And put down this nation and throughout the nations of the world. A remnant, Lord, a few. O Lord, strengthen the things that remain. And yet, Lord, compel, constrain others to come in. Work mightily in this day and generation in which we live. Pluck those brands from the burning. Stop some in their mad career, we beseech of, even those, Lord, that race by on the road here. There might be that inquiry, there might be that turning in, and they might be granted that hunger and thirst after thee, Lord. And then, Lord, draw them unto thee and reveal thyself unto them. O Lord, hear us in this day and generation in which we live, Lord. Many of our causes brought down, diminished. Few that gather. And we know, Lord, that thou art no respecter of persons, no respecter of the numbers, Lord. And we thank thee for thy word in thy word regarding whether two or the threes gather together in my name there, am I in the midst of them. We can plead that for thee, Lord, with thee. And we so would do, Lord, for the twos and threes, literally, twos and threes. And yet, Lord, thy word also declares that I'll be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. Well, build us up, Lord. Return. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Grant, Lord, there might be that true repentance in each of our hearts, that true turning unto thee, that, Lord, thou would return in favour, that thou would pour out those blessings. O Lord, pour out blessings here, that there might not be room enough to receive them. Those showers of blessing, Lord, that refreshing. We thank thee, Lord, for the seasons. We thank thee, Lord, for the harvest collected in. We thank thee for thy faithfulness. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art a covenant-keeping God, despite our unfaithfulness, despite our failings. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art faithful. It's faithful that promised, a faithful covenant-keeping God. And yet, Lord, we must come in with David. Though my house be not so with God, though he have made with me an everlasting covenant ordered and all things ensure. And that's our hope, that, Lord, that covenant, not the covenant of works, but the covenant of grace, that mercy. And what a mercy, Lord, if we can say, had made that covenant with me. Such a failure, such a sinner, such iniquities. And yet, Lord, that covenant ordered in all things. And sure, Lord, have mercy upon each. And may we come in, not as the Pharisee. May we come in as the publican, smiting upon our breast. Oh, with that petition that he said before thee, God be merciful. To me, a sinner. For, Lord, we need mercy. For we come in guilty, condemned by thy holy law, condemned, Lord, totally and thoroughly to a never-ending eternity in hell. And yet, Lord, there is mercy. Mercy with thee, Lord, abundant mercy. Thou dost delight in mercy. And Lord, thy mercy endureth forever. Oh Lord, may we each know that mercy. And any here, Lord, that don't know that mercy, and any that listen, may they give them the desire to know that mercy. That mercy which cometh through thee and thee alone. That salvation that thou hast wrought out for those that are thine. Suffering, bleeding, dying in their room, place and stead. Rose again the third day for their justification. And may we each know, from the youngest to the eldest, may they each know their need of saving. And Lord, may thy Spirit lead them to a precious Christ, to know thee, Lord, to be found in thee, their personal Saviour. Say unto my soul, yes, even my soul, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And Lord, those that have got a hope, how we need a restoring, how we need the visits of thy, the kisses of thy mouth. As David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. May we each know we're saved. Saved from hell. Saved from what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. Eternal death. Eternal separation. And yet, Lord, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord, our God, our Master, our all and in all, our Saviour, our Prophet, our Priest, our High King. Oh Lord, there's such a fullness in thee, yet for such empty sinners. An abundance in thee for those, Lord, that feel to be so poor, are so needy. And thou knowest, Lord, all thy people are poor and needy. All thy people are poor and afflicted. I will leave in the midst of thee a poor and afflicted people. And how we feel our poverty. How we feel our insufficiency. How we feel our lack of knowledge. Such poverty. Such poorness. And yet, Lord, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. For that's what we need. The gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That good news. That there is salvation for the great debtors, 500 pence debtors. There is grace even for the chiefest of sinners. And what a mercy if we can each say, not in presumption, save us from presumption, Lord. Save us from taking anything to ourselves that we should not have. And may, Lord, we be able to say in that humble dependence upon thee, yea, even for me, for vile, filthy, great debtor, even for me. O Lord, may we know thy salvation. May we know thee. And may we love thee more. More and more, Lord. And as thou dost reveal to us filthiness, more and more, how we do love thee more and more. Oh, love is so poor. Time so weak. Time so feeble. And yet, Lord, we love thee. We love him. Because he first loved us. May we know thy love more. May we know thee more, and may we worship thee more. Help us this night to worship thee, Lord, in spirit and in truth. But grant unto us that reverence and godly fear, Lord, help me. Take away tiredness, take away weariness. Help me, Lord, with that word that thou hast laid upon my spirit. And may, Lord, there be a time of refreshing. Yea, if needs be, Lord, a time of rebuking. If needs be, Lord, a time of chastising. But Lord, the important thing is that thou should lose thy word. Do not be silent unto me, Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like those that go down into the pit. May we come up to the house saying, is there a word from the Lord? Lord, and use thy word. And may thy word fall upon that prepared ground. That ground that's been ploughed, that ground that's been worked by thee. That seed might take that deep root down with us. There might be the showers on that seed. That it might spring up and bear that fruit towards thy great and holy name. Forgive all our sins, all our failings, all our shortcomings. Grant unto us that true spirit of confession. Have mercy upon us. Set of our heart that gratitude for thy many mercies, thy many providential mercies. Thou hast spared out the brittle thread of our lives.
Thou hast granted us health and strength to be here, the desire to be here. Thou hast not dealt with us as we deserve. We thank thee for our food, our raiment, our clothing, but may we hold the things of this world with a very loose hand, that thou, Lord, may have the preeminence in all things. Be with thy people in difficulties throughout the world, uphold them, bring them through. Lord, follow with thy blessing the things that were attended to here this morning in that reading service. And do, Lord, grant thy help this night. What a mercy, Lord, at times we feel so destitute of help. Yes, Lord, we've sought it in ourselves. No help in self I find, as our hymn writer says. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. But, Lord, we do feel at times have no help in self. And yet, Lord, thou hast laid help upon one that is mighty. What a mercy, Lord, there is, that help for the helpless, laid upon a precious Christ. And may, Lord, that be the desire. Lord, help me. Lord, help me this night. Help me to speak. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it, Lord. I plead that word before thee again, that thou would open my mouth wide and thou would fill it, Lord. And grant, Lord, there might be that hearing ear and that understanding heart. Lord, help us. We look to thee, Lord. Grant that word from thee, that word that will not return unto thee void, but will accomplish that unto where thou dost send. Help the deacons here in their many responsibilities, the office bearers, choose the hymns for them, choose the reading services for them, and as they make engagements, Lord, guide and direct them right now. Do be very gracious unto them, uphold them, and be with each in the congregation and those that are listening. Do be very gracious, Lord. Be everything thy people need thee to be. What a mercy, Lord, that thou art. All they need thee to be. Far beyond our expectations. Far beyond even we think or understand. What a gracious God. What an almighty God. Forgive anything I've asked amiss. Make up where I fail. O Lord, be with those, Lord, and those that have offered up silent prayers. O Lord, anything that's been asked in accordance with thy mind and with thy will. Grant those gracious answers of peace, as we'd ask it all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 874. Lord, if with thee part I bear, if I through thy word am clean, in thy mercy if I share, if thy blood has purged my sin, to my needy soul impart thy good spirit from above, to enrich my barren heart with humility and love. Hymn 874.
Let's turn together to that chapter that we read together in the Holy Word of God. The first epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to the Corinthians, the sixth chapter, and by way of text this evening, the 11th verse. First epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, writing as directed by the Holy Spirit, writing to those that were at Corinth. And you can read of Paul's visit to Corinth in Acts chapter 18. Now, Corinth was a most immoral place. There was a term that went into the dictionary called to Corinthianize, a most depraved place, a place of multitude of sins. And Paul, as directed by the Holy Spirit, went to Corinth. And of course, he met there Aquila, Priscilla, how he abided with them, the same abode, they were tent makers, and how the Lord said to Paul, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Yes, despite what Corinth was like, despite the sins that were rampant in a place like Corinth, and I can't really do justice to what the place was like. But the Lord said, I have much people in this city. And Paul spent a considerable amount of time in there, preaching the gospel unto them. And that's to whom this letter is addressed. Now, Corinth was a greatly troubled church. There were a great number of errors in the church. They were partial. They had their favourites amongst the ministers. Apollos, Cephas, Paul, and so on. There should be no schisms in the church of one mind. We should all esteem the Lord's servants as equals, sent by the Lord. One plants, one waters, but God giveth the increase. The Lord's servants are nothing. We feel to be nothing. In fact, I would go further and say we are nothing. We feel to be empty, earthen vessels. Yes, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of man. If the Lord's servant brings a word to you, no matter who he is, thank the Lord for the word, not the servant. We're poor men. Yes, we need encouragements. The Lord grants those encouragements now and again. We're thankful for that. So there was that partiality. There was that fornication that we don't want to mention. There was the going before the world in terms of their going to court just before. And of course in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, they were not keeping it correctly. Now there is not, this side of heaven, there is not the perfect church. There will never will be the perfect church here below. We're all sinners. If church members are all sinners, yes, we hope washed. Yes, we hope made whiter than snow. Oh, but all got different character. All sinners. No such thing as a perfect church here below. And this that Paul was writing to the Corinthians. And that list. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revellers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not. No. And that list of sins, that list of sins that were committed by sinners. What a list.
Paul isn't saying that they committed, that any individual committed all of those sins. Perhaps some did. Perhaps some that committed one sin and not another. But what a list. But what a mercy that our text. And such were some of you. Some are great sinners, more bigger sinners, greater sinners than others. Some had a much greater debt than others. In the Word of God, we read of the 500 pence debtor. And we read of the 50 pence debtor. And of course, that was mentioned in the presence of Simon the Pharisee. And that woman, that great sinner that came to the Lord. The important thing is, they knew they were debtors. They knew they were sinners. Sins of every commission, sins of a thought, sins of deed. In Galatians chapter 5, we read this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They that do such sin, sins of thought, sins of deed, sins of omission, sins of commission. As you read that list, or those two lists, you might say, yeah, well, I haven't done that. I haven't done that sin. I haven't committed that. I haven't committed this. But remember, it's not just the outward keeping. And let me be careful again. If you have been kept from committing any or all of those sins on that list, thank the Lord for it. Don't think for a moment that it's because of your strength, your ability, your wisdom, your knowledge. No. You have to thank God. Thank God for keeping you from those sins. Sins of commission. But what about sins of thought? What a high standard is set by such a high and holy God, the thrice holy God. Anger. Who's not been angry with someone at times? That's akin to murder. Looking upon a woman and so on. What sins? Can't stones, can we? Be careful. Deserve to be stoned ourselves. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Sin causes a separation. And if any that are indulging in sin, any that are still in sin, that will cause a separation from God. They cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In that portion to Galatians, just go back to it. And that list, which do such, those that continue in those sins, unrepented sins, those evilness in the sight of a thrice holy God, they cannot enter, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now what a mercy, friends. If the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes and my eyes to truly see, to truly reveal to us our true standing in and of ourselves before God. And there is no standing before God in and of ourselves. We're all filthy. We're all an unclean thing. All our righteousness, we've got none. We like to think perhaps we do have righteousness. We like to think that we're a bit more upright than others, or perhaps, or all our righteousness, every single part, is as filthy rags. We've got nothing. Nothing to commend ourselves to God. Nothing at all that we have not received. We're loathsome in and of ourselves in the sight of a thrice holy God. We're an abomination in his sight. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Behold, I am vile. And that's strong language. But it's the language of one that's been taught by the Lord what he truly is. An abomination. Vile. Loathsome. Have you ever felt like that, friends? Has the Holy Spirit ever revealed to you your lost, ruined condition, your filthy condition, and your need, the need of washing, the need of cleansing, the need of being purified? What a mercy that there is this verse. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of his blood. And such were some of you. Yes, in fact, not outwardly. And thank God for that, as I said. Oh, what about inwardly? And what a mercy that there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness with God that he mayest be feared. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. Such was the sinner in the pulpit. A great sinner, a vile sinner, filthy sinner. But what a mercy to be taught that we are. What a mercy to be taught that in the sight of a thrice, what a mercy that the Lord teaches us this side of the grave, that we need cleansing, that we need washing, that we need a precious Christ, and we can do nothing without him. And such were some of you. And how the Lord chooses the most unworthy, the greatest debtor, that he may have all the praise, all the honour, and all the glory. As Mr. Buss said at the Gospel Standard meeting, I can't remember if it was this year or last year, those Jerusalem sinners. The Jerusalem sinners, they're so called because, of course, the Lord of life and glory was crucified there, and the gospel must first be preached there. But it's to the poor and the needy that the gospel is preached. And how the Lord calls those that feel to be base. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, those that are wise in the wisdom of the world, those that think they've got something that they haven't received, those that think they're worth something, and that's foolishness in the sight of God. For you see your calling. What a mercy if you've been called. What a mercy if I've been called. Called into this marvellous light. You see your calling. Can you see your calling? Calling you from nature's gardens. Dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead to him. Dead to a desire after him. And yet quickened into eternal life. For you see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It doesn't say none, of course. And Countess Selina was grateful that it didn't say none. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. And what fools we feel. What a mercy we're fools for Christ's sake. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, that which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, in things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We've got nothing of ourselves to glory in. We can't glory in anything of ourselves. Our chapel going, good though that is. Our pedigree, brought up amongst the people of God, praying parents, praying grandparents, good though they all are. We can't glory in these things. Man glories in so much of himself that no flesh should glory in his presence. No. Humble. We must come in absolutely humble. We must come on our knees. Begging. What a mercy if you've ever begged. If you've been that poor. The beggars don't have anything, do they? No. And we have to come begging for mercy. Pleading for mercy. And none that ever came really begging for mercy to turn away now. The beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as me. And that word, come unto me all ye that labour and heavy laden. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast off. What a mercy that he doesn't cast off those that come unto him. Those that are drawn unto me, draw me, we will run after thee. Poor, base, vile, filthy. Taught by the Holy Spirit that they can't do anything without him. And they must come. Well, they will come. Great sinners. The salvation of sinners. He came into this world, a precious Christ, to seek and save those that are lost. Lost eternally. He finds them out. He's their good shepherd. That no flesh should glory in his presence now. But what do they glory in? They can't glory in their own flesh. Can't glory in what they've done. Can't glory in what they've not done. Those list of sins. Can't glory in not doing those sins. They have to glory in him. They have to glory in his cross. They have to glory in his whole finished work. He came into this world to save sinners. That he may have all the praise. All the honour. And all the glory. That no flesh should glory in his presence. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. What a mercy, friends. Those listening and those here, if you know that you need washing, and if you know if you need cleansing, if you know you need purging, you need cleansing. And if you need cleansing, the inference is because you're polluted. Because you're filthy. Because you're and you need cleansing. You need washing. You need making whiter than snow. Isaiah 1, verse 16. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil doings of you from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fathers, plead for the widow. Come now. It's the gospel invitation, isn't it? Come. And it's not free will. There is not such a thing as free will. There is not. Those that come, those that are drawn, are those that are wrought upon the Holy Spirit. They have to come. In him is eternal life. They have to come. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And what is that reasoning? We can't argue with the Lord, but we're condemned. Condemned under the holy law of God. Whosoever should keep the whole law of God, yet offend in one point, in one part, he is guilty of all. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. Becoming condemned. By the law, that good law given by a good, we come in condemned by our own consciences. Perhaps come in condemned by the world, condemned by Satan, he'll condemn us. But there's that come now. Let us reason together. And how can a sinner reason together? By pleading those great and exceeding precious promises in his word. Let us reason, let's plead with him. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Deep-dyed sins, scarlet sins, crimson sins, those besetting sins. Washed, white as snow. Cleansed. What a mercy that there is that washing. What a mercy that the Lord cleanses his people. They can't cleanse themselves. Perish that thought. They can't. Sin is such a deep dye in us. Pervades every aspect of our life. We go from the womb speaking lies. Sinners. Great sinners. And Jeremiah. O Jerusalem. Wash thine heart. Those heart sins. That's the sins that only God and yourself know. And sometimes we're so hardened to sin, we often sin where we think there's no sin. And how does the one in the Word reveal unto me thy secret sins? The sins only known to God. Heart sins. But what an evil heart we've got. Do you know your evil heart? Has the Lord revealed to you your evil heart? That heart that's deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the Lord knows it. That evil heart of unbelief. And we need washing. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou may be saved. That ye may be saved. And of course, David, in that penitential psalm, one of his penitential, the 51st psalm, David condemned, breaking God's holy law. Of course, Nathan, thou art the man. Couldn't deny it, I have sinned. When he numbered the people, I have sinned greatly. And he had to come in and he had to plead for mercy. He couldn't deny it. Might try to hide it. The sin with Bathsheba and then getting Joel to put Uriah at the forefront of the heat of the battle. And now Uriah was slain. David was effectively a murderer. But he had to plead, didn't he? He had to plead for mercy. And in that psalm, what was his desire? Wash me. Wash me throughly, thoroughly, completely. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He couldn't wash himself. Couldn't wash himself clean. He couldn't cleanse himself. He had to plead with the Lord that the Lord would do that work in him. His desire was, wash me. Notice the personal nature of it. Not wash the person next to him, behind him or in front of him, and you in the pew. Wash me. Yes, me. Me in the pulpit. Each needs washing. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, my transgressions, my sins, my failings. Sins of omission. Sins of commission. Sins of outward sins, inward sins, thought, deed. How short, what a failure. How we fail. How we sin and come short of that standard that's set in God's holy word. Have you been taught that? In me, that is in me, dwelleth no good thing. No, Paul, wretched man that I am. Have you felt wretched? Has the Lord ever revealed to you your loss? Have you ever felt truly wretched over your sins? Not thinking better of others. Not thinking better of yourself, but truly your own sins. Your own depravity. Your own iniquity. Your own failings. And that desire. Wash me. Wash me truly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And that true acknowledging. I can acknowledge my sins and my sin. And I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before thee, against thee only. What a mercy, friend, if you and I are led by the Holy Spirit to truly confess our sins. We may confess our sins, for it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. That true repentance. Not paying a lip service to repentance or to sin. Not just saying, yeah, well, I know I'm a sinner. I've heard the Lord's servant say it so many times. I've read it in God. But to know it in the heart. Sins of the heart. Cuts very deep. It's cutting work. Mortifying to the flesh. To be brought so down, far down, there's nothing. Loathsome. Vile. Polluted. Lying in our blood, as it says in Ezekiel. And yet the Lord passed by and said, live. Oh, the love of God, the mercy of God. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David's desire, purge me. Now, purging is deep work. Purging is a thorough cleansing work. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, friends, we need washing. We need washing. And such were some of you. But what a mercy, friends, if we've been washed. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of His Lord. Washed. And our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ walked this sin curse. How He washed the disciples' feet. And that humility. He came as a servant and washed the feet of His disciples. Yes, I know the Lord's people are washed, made whiter than snow. But there's that defilement that we pick up through our walk and conduct. And we need constant washing. We need constant cleansing. And then the Lord said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Friends, have you been washed? Have you been cleansed? That's a very solemn word, isn't it? Very searching word. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And only those that are filthy, that defiled, need washing. And such were some of you. Ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. And in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our... Now, what are they washed in? The precious blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our friend, your friend, the deacon in the vestry mentioned it. Washing in the precious blood, cleansed in the precious blood. The second hymn that you've sung. What an encouragement it was to me this night. The prayer of our friend and this hymn. Lord, if with thee I bear a part, if I through thy word am clean, that cleansing power. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. The precious blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Remember on the cross, when that centurion pierced his side with that spear, and forth came of that blood and water. Blood to atone, and that water to cleanse, to be washed in the precious blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Friends, do you know your need of washing? Do you know this precious blood that can wash the vilest sinner clean? The vilest sinner out of hell is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's name to plead, who loved us and gave himself for us. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And have you ever thought, have you ever meditated upon that little word all? What that really means? Every single sin laid upon a precious Christ. The sins of that whole election of grace, that remnant according to the election of grace, laid upon a precious Christ. He laid down his life for the sheep. The life is in the blood. This precious blood. Peter, wasn't it in that epistle? That redeemed. You're not redeemed. For ye know. Do you know it? And if you don't know it, do you want to know it? For ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. No, that's not a redemption. Not the redemption of God. Not with these things, that corruptible things. We think gold and silver are durable. They're going to last for a long time. But no, they're worthless. That vain conversation received by tradition, their heritage. No, but what are they redeemed with? The precious blood. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, with taking away the sin of the world. The Paschal Lamb. Remember the Paschal Lamb, how it was roasted. A lamb of the first year, without spot or blemish, roasted, set before us the sufferings of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Eaten with bitter herbs. And that blood had to be applied, didn't it, to the lintels and doorposts. And when the destroying angel came, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Have you been washed in the blood? Precious blood of a precious Saviour. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In Revelation, we read this. Unto him be all the praise, all the honour and all the glory. Unto him that loved us. That loved us. Greater love of no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. And go further. If we're a friend of God, thank God for that. But go further. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of God to his people. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge, it passeth understanding. His love to such vile, filthy, that he should lay down his life for them. No man could take his life from him. He laid down his life for the sheep. Unto him that loved us and washed us. There it is. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. The life is in the blood. His own heart's blood. The precious blood of a precious Saviour. But ye are washed in that precious blood. His blood. In Gethsemane. His sweat dropped as it were. Real. There were real drops of blood. He sweated blood. What an agony he endured. That his people may have that good hope through grace of eternal life. His soul was sorrowful even unto death. An angel sent to strengthen him. What agony has he endured? Buffeting, scourging. The plough has made long their furrows on his back. That precious blood. The crown of thorns ran down on his head. And of course, thorns represent sin. There were no thorns in the world till sin entered. Ran down on his head. Nails. And his hands and his feet. The blood from his side. That his people may be washed. That his people may be made whiter than snow. Yes, great skin sins. Scarlet sins. But friends, such were some of you. Can you say that? Not with presumption. No, I fear presumption. My own people at Braintree know it's a great fear with me. Taking more to myself than I should have. Presuming. No. But to have that desire and that good hope through grace. To say, Lord, wash me. Wash me, Lord. Wash me from those sins. Sins of youth and growing years. Sins of omission. Sins of commission. Sins of thought. Oh, what a multitude of sins. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. And of course, sanctification is setting apart for the worship of God. They're a purchased people. A purchased possession, a peculiar people. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. A purchased people. Even we read it. What a mercy, friends, if you know. That we're not our own. And that we're bought with a price. And the last verse in that chapter that we read. For ye are bought with a price. What a price. You think upon that price. His own dear son. The only beloved of the Father. This is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased. humbled himself, took on himself the form of a servant, came into this world to suffer, to bleed, and to die in the ruined place instead of his people. You think upon the love of God to sinners. That number whose names are in that Lamb's Book of Life. Those whose names are graven. Can't get deeper than that, can you? Graven on the palms of his hands. Graven on his very heart. But you're washed. But you are sanctified, set apart for the worship of God, made holy. We feel to be so unholy here below. Remember, nothing unholy can ever enter heaven. All sin has to be put away. The price of sin has to be paid. Washed in the precious blood. But you are justified. Now, justification is to be right with God. And in and of ourselves, we're not right with God. God is angry with the wicked every day, as I've already quoted. He's of pure eyes and to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. But how are we made justified with God? The precious blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, that belief in him, that trust in him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This man shall be the peace. This God-man, this man, Christ Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, who was delivered for our offences, raised again for our justification. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The 155th hymn, I think it is, in our hymn book. Read it. I encourage you to read it at your leisure when you've got time to think over the fountain of Christ assists me to sing. It brings to mind Zechariah. In that day, the day of our Lord, in that day, the day of his sufferings, in that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. That fountain. And how it's precious, but how we need the Lord to plunge us into that fountain. That fountain for sin and for uncleanness. The fountain of Christ assists me to sing. The blood of our priest, our crucified king, which perfectly cleanses from sin and from filth, and richly dispenses salvation and health. The fountain so dear, the fountain is such, the fountain sick soul, the fountain from guilt not only makes pure, and gives soon a felt infallible cure. The fountain, 155th hymn. And that's another 160th. What a mercy. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Remember that hymn of Cowper. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in this day. Friend, can you come in with this couplet? And there have I, poor me, such a sinner. There have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And his precious blood, as that hymn says, will never lose its power. No. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That name above every name. That name before which every shall bow in heaven and in earth. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name, isn't it? A precious name. The name of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And such were some of you. Now, friends, what a mercy. Such were some of us. Great sinners, vile sinners, and yet washed. Washed in that precious blood. Made acceptable in the sight of a thrice holy God. But you're washed, can you say that? Have you been washed? And if you haven't been washed, have you that desire to be washed in that precious blood? And if the Lord's granted you that true desire to be washed, then the Lord will not disappoint. Yes, you might have to wait his good time. But he will wash you. If he's granted you that desire and he's revealed to you your need of washing. And such were some of you, but you're washed. There's some here. Yea, would it be a mercy if it were all, but the Lord knows those that are his who've been washed. You've been cleansed, but you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. May we each not let him go. May the Lord assure each of us that we're washed, that our own garments put away, and those his garment of his righteousness, his imputed righteousness put on, and we're washed. What a mercy to want, what a mercy there is, that washing, that only he can, to be cleansed, to be made whiter than snow, to be made acceptable in the sight of a thrice, oh yes, that great long list of sins, in those sins, and yet there is forgiveness with him, that he mayest be feared. And that one said, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? But there is a way of salvation in and through a precious, there is no other way. And friends, how shall we escape? How shall you escape? How shall I escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There is salvation with him. May we come. May we plead to be washed. And may the Lord wash us in the precious blood of a precious Saviour. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening. The church members will meet for prayer on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. And Mr. Tim Parrish will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School. Our closing hymn is number 762. 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. Hymn 762.
O Lord, forgive anything I've said amiss. Make up where I fail. Wash me in that precious sin atoning blood. Wash this sermon, anything, O Lord, wash us. Make us whiter than snow. Be with the friends here, uphold them. Be very gracious unto them. Be with us as we part. Keep the devil from us. Grant journeying mercies, and follow thy blessing anything that's been in accordance with thy mind and with thy will, and forgive anything amiss. But wash us, Lord. Wash me. We beseech of thee, Lord. Have mercy. But there is mercy with thee, Lord. What a mercy, Lord, that there is. As we'd ask it all for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.